Great to be with you. Today I would like to bring a message to you entitled, Go Back the Way You Came. What a strange title, but I'm hoping it will become clear. Go Back the Way You Came. And to help us to do that, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. So if you've got your Bible there, I'll give you a moment just to get to 1 Kings 19. Because it won't come up on the screen, so it would be good to be able to follow along if you can. And we're going to read 10 verses. We're going to start at verse 9, and we're going to read through to verse 19. So 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and it says this. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, this is Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Strangely enough, that Elaine's talked about a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Then the Lord said to him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be the king of Aram, then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. So we find Elijah in a cave. And in the cave, Elijah is having a where are you, God, moment. You'll remember, I just got a feeling that the last time we were together, we were maybe talking about David and the God of the cave. And you'll remember that David, before he became king, found himself also in a cave having his own where are you, God, moment. In fact, both men are having a why is everything that is happening to me happening to me? Now that's proper grammar. So I'll say it again. Why is everything that is happening to me happening to me? That's the period that they're having in their lives. And both men are asking, where are you, God, in my circumstances? Where are you, God, in my aloneness? There's one thing for sure. Both men are not having a wow moment. If there had been a Chadka or online, they wouldn't be jumping up to share a wow moment at that point. In their journeys, their wow has turned to what feels like a war. A woe is me place. And I find it comforting that David, who went on to be the king of Israel and appear in the genealogy of Christ, and Elijah, who goes on to join Moses, appearing to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, both found themselves in a cave, in a place of despair, in a place of doubt and of question asking. They're basically asking, was my faithfulness worth it? And I don't know about you, but their experiences tell me that there's hope for us, whatever and wherever we find ourselves at this exact point in time and this exact point in our journey in life. But today, for a short time, so you won't fall off the windowsill, we won't be here in 3 hours' time, but for a short time, we're going to stay with Elijah. And Elijah bursts into the scene or onto the scene in 1 Kings 17, telling Ahab, and you can boo there if you know Ahab. So he bursts onto the scene telling Ahab that there'll be no rain for the coming years, effectively taking the people of God into a season of drought. And that's not good news to be telling a volatile king. So Elijah, in fact, is a man of boldness. He's been a man willing to boldly deliver the word of God to a difficult recipient. In the same chapter, he's fed by ravens who bring his food twice a day, morning and evening, home delivery, and he gets refreshment from a brook. And when the brook dries up and the ravens stop bringing him his food, he's provided for by a widow. So he's a man who's known the miraculous power and the provision of God. And then in 1 Kings 18, he's involved in a monumental contest on Mount Carmel, one of the great stories of the Bible, with the prophets of Baal. And he sees the fire of God flash from heaven and burn up a soaking wet altar. And in the latter part of chapter 18, Elijah's involved in the coming of fresh rain. So he's a man of incredible faith and trust in the power of God to act in a moment of difficulty. So Elijah has had wow moments. He has had key high points in his life. But then he arrives in 1 Kings 19. And the journey to his cave begins. You'll probably know that King Ahab already has it in for Elijah. In the view of King Ahab, Elijah is a troublemaker in Israel. But Ahab has a wife, who I needn't remind you is Jezebel. And Jezebel is seething with Elijah following the killing of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And in 1 Kings 19 verse 2, she sends a message to Elijah telling him that she intends to kill him by the next day. That's not a text message or an email that you would particularly like to get, but basically that's what he gets. And in 1 Kings 19 verse 1 and 2, it says this: when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done on Mount Carmel, including the way he killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the gods strike me and even kill me by this time tomorrow if I have not killed you just as you killed them. I think that that message is enough to drive anyone into a cave on its own. It would probably feel like the safest place. So what does this man of boldness, who's seen the miraculous provision of God, who's had incredible faith and trust, do? Does he have a worship session where he joyfully sings, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. Hallelujah. No matter what your Jezebels are, Jesus will see you through. No, he melts down in fear and anxiety and he runs for his life. And his running takes him into a personal and physical wilderness where he's completely alone. And once there, he sits under a solitary broom tree and he does the unthinkable. He actually prays to die. He's not praying that he has a hope and a future filled with God's plans for his life. He's literally having a faith crisis. And you can actually say he's having a mental health crisis. We know this because he says to God in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. My, my. What a journey Elijah's having. And he's a prophet of Almighty God. Now, even while he's praying this prayer, God touches him, provides food and drink, and enables Elijah to travel 40 days to Mount Sinai, known as the Mountain of God. And it's there that he finds himself spending the night in his cave. Now, God knows exactly where Elijah is. God's given him the strength and the help to get there. Yet God asks Elijah in the verse we started at today, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, God doesn't need to ask Elijah where he is physically because God knows exactly where he is. But God's digging deeper into the deep place of his heart and asking Elijah, how have you come to this place of despair? This place of wanting to give up? This place of doubt? This place of losing your way? This place of aloneness? Now, God knows all the answers to that as well. But he's in effect inviting Elijah, tell me why you're here and what's going on. God wants Elijah to communicate with him, even in the crisis of his soul. And this is Elijah's response in verse 10 of 1 Kings 19. And we know, we've read it, but I'm going to read it again. I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. The people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all of your prophets. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. So Elijah pours out his complaint to God. And in effect, what he's saying is that God, no one else is going through what I'm going through. I'm totally alone. That's his real lived experience at that time. Now, God doesn't call down fire on Elijah. And he doesn't push him away for his honesty or quote the Old Testament scripture at him. God takes Elijah outside the cave. And outside the cave, God passes by. And when he does, there's a mighty windstorm, as we know, so severe that the rocks split. But God isn't in the storm. Then there's a powerful wind, an earthquake and fire, but God's not in those. But after all that comes a gentle whisper. And in the gentle whisper, God says to Elijah again, why are you here? Now, maybe after all of that, you might expect Elijah to say something different, but unbelievable. It maybe thinks that God's not hearing. Elijah says to God again, in my life right now, however you come to show me who you are, I am alone. I feel alone. And no matter what you say, God, my lived experience is that I'm at the end of myself. Now, I've paraphrased that really, but that's really what he's saying. So does God do another windstorm, another earthquake, another fire, and another gentle voice? No, he actually just speaks to Elijah and he says, Elijah, go back the way you came. Go back the way you came, which will involve a journey back through some wilderness. But God's taking Elijah on a spiritual journey. God's saying to Elijah, go back the way you came. Go back to that place where your trust and confidence and in this intimacy with me was at its best, was different to what it is now. Go back to the place before the circumstances of life hijacked your confidence and trust in me. In other words, God's saying to Elijah, just retrace your steps. In simple terms, God's saying to Elijah, learn to trust me again. And so that's exactly what Elijah does. And his decision to go back the way he came, to retrace his journey, to find God again like he had known him before, had a result. It resulted in God using him in a fresh and a new way. Elijah's taking stock of what was going on in his head and in his heart and deciding not to die, but to live again, to serve God again, to know the intimacy of God again resulted in the anointing of two kings, not the book, but actually two real kings, to rule in the purposes of God and in the passing of his anointing to Elisha. All of that could have been missed. Think about this for a few minutes. A few moments ago, Elijah wanted to die. Well, not just a few moments. It was a little while back. But Elijah wanted to die. He believed he was completely alone in his journey. But now, having responded to the voice of God to go back the way he came, to address the lie that God couldn't use him again, or to have intimacy with him, like before, resulted in the purposes of God being worked out in the lives of not just three other people, but all the people that would be impacted by those three people, the two kings and Elisha. And because of Elijah's willingness to trust God again, did in fact touch the countless lives of people. You'll recall the decision to go back the way Elijah did is really, it appears in other parts of the Bible also. What about Jonah, who's directed to go to Nineveh, but he goes to Tarshish and he ends up in a whale? And in verse 4 of Jonah chapter 2, he cries out from the belly of the whale, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more to your holy temple. That was his going back the way he came, looking back to God. And he was in his own fish cave. And yet he turned back the way he had come. What about the prodigal son in Luke 15, who finally comes to his senses and he says to himself, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. You'll recall that in going back the way he came from his pigsty of regret, he experienced a father who ran to meet him, a father who poured kisses upon kisses on him, a father who robed him, placed a ring on his finger, killed a fatted calf and threw a celebration. That is an amazing example of going back the way you came. Go back the way you came, Elijah. Now, I said it would be short, and I have no big conclusion other than these words. I've been challenged by the message of 1 Kings 19. The challenge has been, where do I need to go back to in the way that I've come? Maybe it's just going back to something recent in the past days, that I've moved on from, but I need to go back and hear God in the way that I'd come last week. Maybe it's a few weeks ago, or months, or longer. But is there anything that we need to step back to the way that we've come? Elaine said this, and I've got it written down as well, in a way, is, do I need to return just to a simple trust and rest in God? We don't have to be Elijah. In fact, that's probably easier than getting mixed up with people like Ahab and Jezebel. But do I need to return just to a place of stillness? Do I need not to maybe fill all the moments that I'm in the presence of God with prayers, petitions? Do I just need to hear the voice of reassurance once again? That's okay. Do I need to return to a place of prayer, of just being alone with God? God invited Elijah just to have a conversation, to talk to him about the deep things of his heart. Or maybe it's something more specific that you need to address and you've put it off or buried it deep. Maybe as a church, there's something that you're feeling led to come back to, or a place to come back to. And the invitation of the Father is, come back. Start with a response to the invitation. I might not know how to get back to a place, but just start with a response and let the journey find its own course in God. May God bless you this day as you seek to hear and respond to those things God is asking us to maybe come back to. Amen.